Here we are, Lord, coming to your house. And oh, how we pray, oh Lord, you will be here. So come, pour your Spirit out upon this place, Lord. Cleanse each and every one of us now from anything that is unclean. Let no unrighteousness remain in this place. You be glorified in your house. And oh, how we pray, you will be blessed by the praises of your people. As we sing praises unto you, Lord, be blessed, we pray. And help us to just enjoy the peace that transcends all understanding as we come together. You are here. We put our trust in you, our faith in you, for you are faithful, even when we are not. We thank you for your faithfulness. So we praise you today, Lord. Hear our voices of praise. Amen.
What a beautiful thing this word is. Praise God who opened an opportunity for us to finish what we started last week. Amen. For those that were not here last week, we started an introduction on the Torah that we may not know. Amen. And we introduced it in a few different ways out of the Old Testament, and we had the opportunity then to finish it off this week, moving into the entirety of the New Testament, or as a pastor friend of mine said, the newer, they just forgot the ER, the newer Testament, and I like that. Amen. We had Ashley here last week. I was thinking about her because she just moved into a new house. Amen. But how many of us have ever moved into a new house? Right? And we have pictures in our minds of running through, you know, the kids running through the house, right? They're picking their rooms. Amen. You're going through the house and you're seeing the size of the kitchen and does the house have stairs and, right? And, you know, how many bathrooms are in the house and all. And, just all the neat things about going through a brand new house. But when it comes time to buy, right, one of the most important aspects of the house is not how many bedrooms or bathrooms it has, not what the color of the kitchen cabinets are, but it's the foundation. Right? How solid is the foundation? In what kind of shape is the foundation? Right? The basic tenet of a foundation is the unmovable base that the entire structure is built upon. If you have a firm and strong foundation, the structure is built to last. But if you have a shaky foundation, the entire building is at risk. And we know this is a pretty basic biblical principle as well, amen? It's taught by Jesus. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who has built a house and dig deep and laid his foundation upon a rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it could not be shaken, for it had been formed and founded upon a rock. But he who hears and does not is like the man without a foundation, built his house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and oh, how great the ruin was of that house. The Torah is our foundation, and we are thankful for it, amen, and not fearful for it. So, beloved, for those of you who were not here, again, last week was an introduction to the beauty of the Torah. All right? The beauty of the Torah that many have either never thought to understand, or, like I said, they fell out of love with it as they grew older. As modern Christian society has denounced the Torah as something to be avoided. But, as I mentioned, amen, As children, you'll love this, we fell in love with the Word of God. As children, we fell in love with the Word of God through the stories of Noah's Ark and David and Goliath and Daniel in the lion's den and Joseph and his coat of many colors. Right? When did we fall out of love with all of those things? Modern Christian society has taught us that the Torah has been fulfilled. Therefore, all we really need is the New Testament. And as much as I love the Gideons, and I do, it is a great translation. Most of what they hand out is only half of the Bible. Amen? You get the New Testaments, and I do not have, I love the Gideons. Don't have a problem with that, but there is something that kind of hurts my heart a little bit about that. We refer to the Psalms and the Proverbs at times, when we're bringing a message and when we're doing a teaching. But mostly, beloved, teach that the laws and the prophecies have all been fulfilled. Think about that, the laws and the prophecies have all been fulfilled. The Old Testament is now ancient. However, it is written in Ecclesiastes, what has been done is what will be. And what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. You see, brethren, that which has been prophesied in the Torah and fulfilled through history will play out again. And that, my friends, is one of the most exciting parts about becoming familiar with books like Kings and Chronicles. I went through an entire series of messages that detailed the walk of the Christian life exampled in the book of Ruth. Amen? Amen. God's direction and instruction for his people. For his people. Are you one of God's people?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's direction and instruction for his people are still laid out in the prophets of Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel. So much information and life advice and direction is found in the instruction and teaching of God. Remember, as we said last time, that's what Torah means. It doesn't mean law. Law, that word that brings together fear. The word Torah means instruction. It means teaching of God. So much information and life advice and direction. Beloved, the answer to every question, the direction for every life choice is found somewhere in God's word as an example.
Amen.
What is one of the things that Christians desire in their walk with God? All Christians desire this in their walk with God. The answer to life's questions and a direction which way they should go.
Amen.
Right? We have praise and prayer time all the time. What is a common theme during our praise and prayer time? Amen. I am just seeking the Lord's will and direction in my life. A common theme in most Christians' lives. Hey, you know what? All of that aside, I am just seeking the Lord's will and direction in my life. Should I turn to the right or should I turn to the left? Should I just stand still? Amen? So we ask, and how do you know when you've received an answer? How do you discern the answer? I mean, as pastors, right, we get asked the question often, how do you make a decision? How do I know this? What do I do? And as pastors, the answer is generally, hey, you ask God. Amen? Yeah, you go to God and you ask him, right? But how do we know the answer? I think that's actually what people are really asking. How do I ask God for direction in my life? I think what they're really asking is, how do I know when he answers? Or how do I know the answer? And beloved, an example of the answer to every question you could ever have in life is found somewhere in the Word of God. I mean, it's amazing. That's one of the reasons this thing is so beautiful, right? That's one of the reasons our God is so amazing. Every question you could ever have is found somewhere in the Word of God. For as it is written in Amos, surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. It's one of my favorite verses. Surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secrets to the servants, the prophets. I encourage you, beloved, to ask for God's direction in life with an answer and with a confirmation. That's how I explain it. That's how I let my friends know. An answer and a confirmation. Amen. Gideon said unto God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor. If the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside it, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. For Gideon rose up early on the morning, and he squeezed the fleece out, and he wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And so Gideon said unto God, let not your anger be hot against me, right? But I will ask just this one more time. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once, not once more, just this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Beloved, so it is okay to ask the Lord for confirmation that you have heard from him. It's okay. It's okay to ask the Lord for confirmation that you have heard from him and not from your own thoughts. Right? Because that's kind of the thing, right? Oh, man. Was that me or was that him? Right? And so here's an example. My wife always says testimony. Your testimony is important. Right? Here's an example of something that happened recently in my life as a testimony to share with you. Now, in Rotary, there's a lady, her name's Mary, and she's kind of an older lady, and she's kind of well off, and she's associated with a lot of the different organizations and things. And she got us to do Generations, to cater for the Generations Party, which is like a philanthropic organization. Recently, she came to me a couple of Rotaries ago, and she asked me if we would donate something to this fundraiser for a hospital wing. They're going to be like building something in the hospital wing or whatnot, right? And so as a Christian, your immediate thought is, sounds like a good idea. Right? That sounds like something a Christian should do, right? Helping out a hospital, amen? You know, building a new wing, whatever it was. So I told her I would, pray on it. We would think on it. And though it sounds like a good thing for a Christian, there was something that was kind of like, I don't know, man. I just don't know about that, right? So I started leaning towards that. I started leaning towards, I don't know about that. And then I opened my mouth and I said, because that's what Pharaoh does. And I realized that the Lord was giving me confirmation through the word about what he was leading me, my decision. As a Christian, helping out the hospital and giving something and building a new wing sounds like a great idea. In the Lord's view, that's what Pharaoh does. The hospitals have plenty enough money to build their things. They're billionaires. Anybody who's been to the hospital room for a while knows $50,000, $70,000, $100,000, $120,000 later. Amen? There is no shortage of money in the hospital system, but do you know what Pharaoh does? Pharaoh makes the people build their own bricks. Pharaoh makes the people build their own wings. Pharaoh makes the people work, amen, when they have all the capabilities to do it. So that was my answer and my confirmation. That's a testimony for me. That's how I heard that. I had the answer, I had the leading, and then God confirmed it in the word. Amen? Therefore, knowing your Torah is practical for life advice and direction. Amen. Okay? Now, the things that Christians should find most beautiful about the Torah is that without the Torah, there would be no understanding or knowledge of who Jesus is. I mean, we have the benefit of understanding Jesus through life and times and the New Testament and knowledge and people who have had that. Right? But when Jesus was Jesus, there was no New Testament to convince anyone that he was Jesus. Amen. Right? There was only the Torah scriptures. We have the entire Bible, and we are conditioned to believe and think that the Gospels and the Epistles and the letters of Paul and Romans and Hebrews and Corinthians, amen, are the things that we convince people of their need for Jesus. That they're the definitive writings of Scripture, amen. But none of those pointed to who Jesus was when he was. Right? There was only this. There was only this that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. That what was written about him might be fulfilled. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through his prophets. Beloved, the Torah told us that he would be born of a virgin. The Torah told us that he would be a Galilean from Nazareth. The Torah told us that he would be born in Bethlehem. The Torah told us that he would flee to and return from Egypt. The Torah told us that Herod would slay all the baby boys while looking for him. The Torah told us that he would bear our sicknesses and our diseases. The Torah told us that he would make the people lay down on the grass to feed them. The Torah told us how much he would be sold for, what kind of death he would suffer, that they'd pierce his side and cast lots for his garments, and on, and on, and on. The knowledge and information about Jesus that we take for granted by its commonality first had to be argued and proven according to Torah Scripture before a single word of the New Testament could be written. Therefore, we know and we understand the verses in Acts. Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and for 3 days he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ needed to have suffered and rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach to you, is that Christ. Woo! The brethren then immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to the Bereans. When they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with all eagerness, and then what? Examined the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Amen. Amen? And many of them therefore believed. And which Scriptures, beloved, did they examine daily to see if these things that were written in the New Testament were so? Right? As Christians, we all want to know Jesus more. As Christians, we all want to know Jesus more. To know him beyond the surface layers. Jesus loves you. He died for you. There's nothing wrong with understanding that. But do you want to know him beyond that surface layer, that Jesus loves you and died for you? Of himself, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." To have a deeper relationship with Jesus, do we desire to have a deeper relationship with Jesus? Amen. He said this, "My mother and my brethren." Do you want to have the relationship with Jesus like a mother, like a brother? "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Amen. And which word of God was he speaking? The word that was not written yet? Right? Consider one of my favorite passages. I did a year-long series of messages at Golden Peaks over this verse. Luke 24, 27. Beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted to them in all of the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Do you remember that series of messages? You don't have to. That's okay. Amen. What a conversation Jesus must have had with these disciples. Right? What a conversation on the road to Emmaus concerning all of the things written about himself in the Torah. From the first chapter of the first book, "Let there be light," in Genesis 1. To the last chapter of the last book of the Torah in Malachi, chapter 4, verses 2. "You who fear my name, for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. From the beginning to the end. From the beginning to the end, Jesus opened up all the scriptures about himself. Now, let me show you something awesome here. All right, another great life example. Keep your finger on that particular verse. Keep this verse in mind while I read the story of the widow with the issue of blood. Okay, we all know the story, right? Matthew and Luke tell the story, so I've put them together to read for you. So you don't have to go there. Listen. Behold, a woman who had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I shall be made well." And Jesus said, "Who is it that touched me?" And when all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the multitudes surround you and press upon you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone forth from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came, trembling, and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now I ask you, in what did she have faith? Was it in Jesus himself? We often think of this story, we think that she had faith in Jesus. Amen? Listen. Or did she have faith in the Word of God? Remember what we just read in Malachi. "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings." The word for wings here, the Hebrew word used here, is kanaf. It is the word used to describe the fringes or the borders of a prayer shawl. Okay? "Speak unto the children of Israel and have them make fringes in the wings of their garments throughout their generations. And they that put upon the fringe of their wings a ribbon of blue." Now remember, what did the woman say within herself? "If I only touch his garment, I shall be made well." The faith that made her well, and also I might add, the faith which made her stand out from all the others in the crowd who were pushing in on Jesus, hello, amen, was her faith in the Torah of God. "If this man is the Messiah," she would say within herself, "according to the word of God, I need only touch the fringe of his garment to be made well." The crowd presses in. "Jesus, Jesus, we've heard about your miracles. Heal me. Show us a sign." They press in. The old woman draws close. Just a touch of his wings, she thinks. She reaches out and she gets it. And the power of the truth of the Torah of God flows through Jesus like electricity turned on. Amen? And he looks around. "Who touched me?" And the disciples are dumbfounded. Yeah. "Everyone touched you." Right? "Everyone is touching you." No. He knew that she touched him out of faith of the Word of God. She knew Jesus deeper. She knew Jesus from what was written about him in the Torah of God. So she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him. Why had she touched him? "If I only touch his garment, I shall be made well." How did she know? "For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings." Amen. 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 A deeper understanding of Jesus. A deeper understanding of Jesus, church. Not the laws and the commandments and everything that is to be feared about. Amen. The Torah is a deeper understanding of Jesus. A relationship with Him that can only be found through finding Him in the entire Word of God, not just the bullet points of the Newer Testament. So as we begin to wind down today, amen, let's kind of move a little bit into Paul, just a little bit, okay? For after all, it is Paul who is generally credited with most of the arguments against the validity of Torah in the Christian life. True. If we were to spin an album of Paul's greatest hits, it would probably be named Free from the Law. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? But beloved, you all know me. You know I like to find out what does the Bible say, not what do they tell me the Bible says. So first, Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:14. As for you, beloved Timothy, amen, my son in Christ, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the Holy Scriptures, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Paul links knowledge of the teaching of God with the instruction of salvation through faith in Jesus. Jesus, the Torah promised Messiah. Amen? Which Acts regularly points out that Paul taught Christ in the synagogues, proving him to be the Messiah from the Scriptures. We also read that Paul, even after his conversion and during his ministry, continued to be an observant Jew. Okay? That is, he observed and kept the Torah statutes himself. As it is written in Acts 18 and 20. Right, when they desired him to stay longer with them, he consented not. But he bade them farewell, saying, I must, by all means, keep the feast that comes in Jerusalem. But I will return to you again, if God wills. And he sailed from Ephesus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus, so that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Shavuot. Amen? Yeah. Listen. Lastly, we read that Paul was accused of admonishing Jewish Christians for keeping certain laws. In Acts 21, James declares that Paul is known to be observant of all things lawful. They said to him, you see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who believe. They are all zealous for the law. And they have been told about you, Paul, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or observe the customs. So therefore, brother Paul, do what we tell you. Thus, all will know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself live in observance of the law. So James declares to Paul, as he's talking about, we know that you live in observance of the law. They've heard a lie. Okay? So you do this thing, and I'm not going to get into the thing, but let them know, okay, that you live in observance of the law. They will know that what they have heard is a lie about you. So, beloved, the debate on what Paul says about the law, though, has been going on ever since he wrote his letters. That's just the truth, right? And I wasn't going to get into all of that. I mean, I started to, and I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious, right? I'm like, okay. Even Peter emphasizes and cautions the church that Paul's writings can be hard to understand and therefore can be twisted by unlearned and unskilled people into lawlessness. 2 Peter 3, he writes, count the forbearance of our Lord as salvation. What a beautiful phrase. Count the forbearance of our Lord as salvation. Amen? The patience of the Lord to salvation. We have all been saved in this room. Amen? But there's so many out there that have not. Like, we want the Lord to come back today. Right now. Amen? All right? But what about them? Amen? Amen? Count the forbearance of our Lord as salvation. So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, speaking of this as he does in all of his letters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. But you, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, beware, lest you be carried away with the errors of lawless men and lose your own stability. Okay? So I was wondering which of Paul's sayings I was going to kind of focus in on, and I realized that's impossible. People have been doing that forever. Since they were written, people have been twisting and trying to understand, trying to interpret Paul's sayings, right? I'm not going to get into the things that Paul said. This is why, instead, I told you what he did. Amen? He did observe the feasts at Jerusalem, as instructed by the Lord in Deuteronomy 16. He did live in observance of the law, as told in Acts 21, and he did preach Christ in the synagogues using Torah evidence. He quoted scripture, Torah scripture, in almost all of his letters. Paul, the author of Free from the Law, amen, kept the feasts and he kept the Torah. Now, don't take my interpretation of it. Beloved, you read it. Amen. You study it. And tell me what you think. Okay? I think there's more to it than this free from the law simplicity that we've all heard. And so that is today, beloved. I hope I've piqued your interest in the beauty of God's complete word. So at least the past few weeks, hold over any misunderstanding, though, I am not saying that you need the Torah to worship Jesus. Okay? I am not. As the saying goes, Jesus is so simple, a child can understand salvation. But the rest is what I'm interested in. But Jesus is also so deep that a scholar could study his whole life and still only scratch the surface. Amen? I'm going to leave you with this example from Ezra 3. It says, they kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom as the duty of the day required. And afterward, they offered the continual burnt offerings, both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated. And everyone willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offering burnt offerings to the Lord. But the temple, the foundation of the temple of the Lord, was not yet laid. But when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, oh, beloved, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, oh, they set priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks to the Lord, because he is good, because his mercy endures forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord had been laid. Those who returned to Israel from Babylonian exile began their worship, okay, with just a basic knowledge and understanding of God. A basic knowledge and understanding of God and his word. Just the basics, with no temple, nowhere to go, nothing to do, amen? Just worship. Just worship. But when the foundation was laid, O church, that's when the cymbals and the trumpets and the shouts of joy were heard. Can we worship Jesus the same? Right? Without the understanding of Torah? Absolutely. Absolutely. But does the Torah, the foundation of God's teaching and instruction, bring more joy to our worship? You bet. You bet. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, not just for snippets and pieces, Lord, but thank you for your complete word. And we know that there are things in the Old Testament or older testaments, newer testament, Heavenly Father, Lord. We know that there are things that are hard to understand, and we know that there are things, Lord, that we have been set free from, Heavenly Father, Lord, but it still pays to know those things. You know, it pays to know, like, if somebody were to read the charges before you in a court of law, and then you find out that you are set free, amen, it pays to know the charges that were before you, amen, to know what you've been set free from, hallelujah. It pays to know every word of God, for even in some of the things that have been fulfilled, Heavenly Father, Lord, we still have a glimpse of things that are to come. Even in things that have been fulfilled, Heavenly Father, Lord, there is life advice that can help us through our own walk each and every day. In every word of this word, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you've given us, it is profitable for building up, for edification, for proof, and for reproof, Lord, and for teaching. We love you, and we thank you for each and every word that is here, Lord. I pray that the interest of every word, every begat, amen, every genealogy, everything has a meaning and a purpose and a place in God's kingdom for those who love the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.